A reading from Joshua 23. After a long time had passed, the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them. Joshua, by then, a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, "I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your back, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I am about to go the way of the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened, until the Lord your God has destroyed them from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he has commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you.
Be strong, and courageous. Be strong, and courageous. How do you like the melody of my march? It's been kind of the melody of my march ever since the first chapter and ever since God first spoke those words into my life. I can still remember when I heard God first speak those meaningful words into my life. God said to me right at the beginning of my book, he said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Since that day he spoke it into my life, I've wanted to make that the music that my life has marched to. And so I've made a little march out of it. Be strong, be strong and courageous. I wasn't always strong and courageous. I think I shared with you the first time I was with you there that it was in the midst of losing my good friend Moses when those words first came to me. Moses, as I shared with you before, Mo wasn't your average Joe, was he? Mo had been through some experiences and in his walk with God together. You see, Moses had a burning bush encounter, and Moses' life didn't stop burning after that bush either. He was the man that God sent to Egypt to say, "Let my people go." And from Egypt, he parted the Red Sea with God's power working behind him in the staff. It was following the Red Sea that God led us through the wilderness. Those first few battles that our people encountered in the wilderness, including the mumbles and grumbles along the way, Moses was that man who led us each step of the way, God's servant, in the midst of that time. I was good friends with Moses, working under him, Moses' young protege, and yet Moses experienced a day, and we all will experience a day. The Bible says that we all will have a day of death. There's a season to be born and a season to die, and following death to face judgment. Moses had that day. No, Moses wasn't scared for that day. It seems to me that those who are most friends with God in this life most find the friendship of the life to follow in an easier, peaceful passing, crossing into that transition there. At least it was for Moses. Moses spent his life in this world getting to know God that left the step in the next world a little bit easier, a little bit more transitory there, a little bit more peaceful. I was there when Moses had passed from this life into the next life, and there was a peace about Moses. But my life was a wreck. I was losing a dear friend, Moses, who I just spent 40 years as a colleague to. And not only the last 40 years there, I sensed all the people were now looking at me for leadership. All the people of Israel were now looking at me for direction. All the people were expecting me to live up to the Moses standard in so many ways. My life was a wreck in so many ways, both battling personal grief at losing Moses, a dear friend, and also wondering what the future held for my whole people, my whole nation, and this next march step into the promised land. I was a wreck. And yet in the midst of the mess, God sent a message. In the midst when my life felt like a total mess, God sent me a message, and it was this message. This message I shared with you last time at the start of the summer. Be strong and courageous. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And he has. God has genuinely been with us wherever we've gone, as we've tracked all summer long. We went to the Jordan River. It was at flood stage. How do you get a million people across a flooded river? It's not the time to travel. It's not the time to try to cross. And yet in the midst of that mess, God devised a battle plan that said, I'll go before you. Step with me into the waters. It was a bold undertaking. We had to step in faith into the waters, bearing the Ark of the Covenant, symbolized by God's presence himself going with us. But when we stepped into those waters, slowly but surely, they began to recede and trickle down to nothing. And eventually dry ground actually appeared, and the whole nation walked through on dry ground. The Lord was with us. Then following the Jordan River crossing, what do we see? The high walls of Jericho. How does a group that was one generation away from being slaves now scale walls? Siege warfare. How does my people do it? Those walls were so high, we couldn't do it in and of ourselves. And yet, once again, God says, no fear, Joshua, I will be with you through this. God devises a battle plan that seemed foolish at the time. 7 days of marching around the walls. Why 7 days? Maybe 7 days to give Jericho a chance to amend their ways. But at the end of 7 days, only one amends their ways, a prostitute of all people by the name of Rahab. And the walls come tumbling down as we shout at the walls after 7 days. Once again, God with us in the midst of a difficulty. And then following Jericho, we lost a battle we should have never lost. It was Ai, and it was because of what Achan had taken in Ai, if you remember that story. Achan had taken some things, and we were left clueless to about it, confused in our walk with God. God, why are we experiencing defeat? We're not understanding. We're not getting it. We thought we were walking in obedience to you. And God tenderly but toughly put his finger on the problem. It was sin. Sin in our society that was causing this fall there in my people group with the battle of Ai. God delicately and yet staunchly put his finger where the problem was and helped us to move forward beyond that problem together. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Why? Because I'm strong and courageous? No. The reason why we're strong and courageous is because the Lord our God goes with us wherever we go. When we're crossing rivers, when we're facing the next battle, when we're left back confused and wondering what direction to take, even in the midst of all those circumstances, God is still with us. He's revealed it through my people, and I pray he reveals it through your life as well. My life was wrecked. Moses had passed, But God's message broke through, and it's continued to break through to this day. There's been many more marches on our journey together, but it's this final march that brings us to the close of the book, and that's why I wanted to call all of you forward here today. A little farewell. You notice I didn't march in with the same speed that I did a couple weeks back. I've gotten considerably older since last time we met. As a matter of fact, I'm 110 years old now. 110 years old, and as a part of my swan song, I just want to leave some lasting legacy lessons for all of us that can help us on our own journey beyond this summer journey together. As I said, I'm very old. There's some things I would like to edit out of my story. That very word is one of them. But the Bible can sometimes just be brutally true. I have to say, inspired by God, that I'm very old at this point. But I don't hide behind my age there. I know some people. They're always wanting to try to set the clock back, as if they could live in the past. Instead, time always marches only forward there. And so I will live in that march of the time forward and own up to how old I am. I am very old at this point, and that truth doesn't make me blush. As a matter of fact, that truth propels me to have to near Jesus more and more day by day. Because you see, there is one who didn't hide behind death's doors himself. As a matter of fact, he went through death's doors in order to come out on the other side and say, come follow me. This same journey is for you too, if you're willing to deal it with me. His name is Jesus. And he said these words when he walked among us. He said in John 11:25, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Jesus had not only said those words, but lived those words. 3 days following being put behind a grave, he came out on the other side, even more alive, resurrection life, a life that death can no longer touch anymore. And so it's with that truth and conviction in mind that I can own up to my age truthfully. I am very old. But not only that lesson that I want you to learn today. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. A legacy lesson I want to give you today is to remember the past. Don't live in the past, but certainly remember the past. Remember what God has brought you through. Remember significance mark on this journey where you felt God's presence close and near and dear to you. Remember the baptism day. Remember life beyond that day. Remember the ways God's been working and stirring in your life. I read a book recently. Time travel, you got plenty of layaway time. And I read a book recently there that talked about those who know their story, whose parents have shared stories, grandparents have passed down the stories. Those kids who've heard the stories of their family and where they've come from are more likely to have a positive self-identity and self-esteem growing up later in life. It's important to share the stories, both the good and the bad of the stories that have brought us to where we are today, our family stories, our church stories, and most importantly, our salvation story of the ways God's been working in our lives. It makes us healthy and more mature as we share those stories. I remember 40 years ago when Moses was giving his farewell address. It's found in the book of Deuteronomy and the Bible itself. As I was sitting there amongst the crowd when Moses was giving his swan song, there was one word that Moses kept repeating over and over and over again. It was the word remember. Remember. Moses said, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Remember the day you stood before the Lord at Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, when he said to me, assemble the people before and hear my words that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. Remember the words of God. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness those 40 years. There's a lot of monotony in that remembrance. 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. And yet Moses told the people, remember even those stories. And then yet again, remember this and never forget how you aroused the anger of the Lord your God in the wilderness. You made for yourselves idols in the shape of a calf. They bowed down to a golden calf in the wilderness. Moses even said, remember the negative times. Remember the negative times and where God's brought you even through those negative times, the way God's forgiven you and freed you forward through that even. Remember, remember, remember. It's important to remember all that God has done in our lives and to not quickly move past the past, not to live in the past, but to remember the past for moving forward and marching forward in our life with God. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for you all the tribes of the land. Of the nations that still remain, the nations that I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea on the west. I talked with your pastor before coming in today, and he confessed that he skipped over this section in my story this summer. I think he just had too glowing of a time with Vacation Bible School and wanted to share some of that glowing passage last week. And so he skipped over all the inheritance and all the allotting out of the various land of the promised land. To be honest with you, that's a major portion of my book. Almost half of the book is this allotting and dishing out the inheritance of the promised land. Truthfully, I don't think it was just Vacation Bible School that your pastor skipped over for it. I think he was afraid of passages like these. The allotment of the tribe of Judah according to its clans extended down to the territory of Edom, to the desert of Zin in the extreme south. Their southern boundary started from the bay at the southern end of the Dead Sea, crossed south of the Scorpion Pass, continued to Zin, went over to the south of Kadesh Barnea, then it ran past the Hezron to Adar and carved around Karka. It passed along the Asmon, joined the Wadi of Egypt, ending at the Mediterranean Sea. This is the southern boundary. Don't worry, it goes on. The eastern boundary is the Dead Sea as far as the mouth. You get the point. It's like reading a geography book with no pictures there. I think he was afraid of that section. How do you preach that section? The preaching behind that section, the preaching behind the places, is that this is a map of God's promises. It's not just a map of places, it's a map of God's promises. The way God fulfilled what he said over 400 years before to our forefather Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These places have significance to us because it's the promises that God is fulfilling each step of the way there, each step with our people. So don't remember it as just a map of places. See these as a map of promises, each location, each city that's named in this journey together. Don't forget that, how God has stayed true to his word each step of the way, even the cities that we inhabit today at the close of this book there. The Lord your God himself, he'll push out for your sake and he'll drive them out before you and you'll take possession of their land as the Lord your God has promised you. That push out word might sound a little harsh. You think of bullying there. And we've covered that a little bit along the way. What's God doing with these lands that seem to be pushed out before the people of Israel? And what's really going on there? We've tried to stop and cover that along the way. If push seems like a bullying term, maybe you need to hear more of what it's meant in the Hebrew. The King James Version does a good job at translating this word. About expelling out. The Lord your God, expel them from before you and drive them out from your sight. He shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you. See, God is not acting as a bully. Expelling language helps understand that. Your pastor says a lot of you at one time were teachers or still are teachers, or maybe some of you were bad students who understand that expel word on the other side of that as being bad students. You realize with the expel, the choices were yours to make. The consequences just follow the choices that you've made. That's really what's outlined through the promised land himself. There were some choices that could have been made there. And that because they were made in a given way, the natural consequences in God's schoolroom of society is that those choices had consequences. Turning the back on the giver of life does not end in the giving of life. It ends in death and destruction and a brokenness of ways there. Expelling helps clarify that. That God is simply stamping the choices and consequences and decisions that were made each step of the way. And I know the argument wants to be said back. If God is truly an all good God, then how can he judge? How can he destroy? How can he do some of the things that he's done? And the question needs to be turned back at the tables. If God truly is all good, then he can't let evil go unchecked. If God is truly all good, then evil cannot go unchecked in his book, because an all good God can't turn a blind eye to evil. He must do something about evil. And that's really what we see front and center so often through the pages of Joshua. It's an all good God who cannot let evil go unchecked. He must eventually bring down the hammer of judgment. He must eventually let the consequences of the choices play out, and turning away from the giver of life cannot lead to positive consequences. It leads to expulsion. It leads to being expelled on the eternal transcript of life itself there. With reading that, don't forget, I'm looking out and I'm seeing Rahab. Rahab, you look fab over there. Not only Rahab, I see the Gibeonites way over there, another nation that at one time was a part of the people who were to be expelled, yet turned, repented, and propelled their life story in the direction of God himself. And what does God do the story of Rahab? And what does God do the story of Gideon? He doesn't write expelled. He allows their decision to turn in repentant faith to propel them closer, near, and dear to the heart of God. I told you at the outset, there's one thing you need to remember all summer long. Do you remember that? What that one thing is? That question, what's the name of the book? And Joshua means the Lord saves. He certainly does save. All who come to him by faith through grace find that good gift of God open and accessible. Rahab and the Gibeonites, though a population of those to be judged, repented and turned to him and found God saving grace through their lives. They're among us here today as an example of that, as God's rewritten their story. God reminds us in 2 Peter 3, it says, the Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. You need to know it's not God's heart to expel. It's not in God's heart to push out, any more than it's in a principal's heart to expel a student or want them out of school there. It's the choices that unfold that lead to that. God is the same way, not wanting anyone to perish. It says he's patient with us. Did you know over 400 years have elapsed? Generation after generation after generation given a new opportunity with God to choose for themselves to come closer to God. And yet instead, it's Rahab and the Gibeonites, too few, who are willing to amend their ways and turn in repentant faith. It's not the heart of God that's the problem. It's the heart of humanity so often that wants to fight against their creator. God's patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come into repentance. But we need to know the day of the Lord will come. There does come a time of judgment. Repent, turn to God, go into his ways, and find that there is saving grace in that decision there. The practice. I go on to say, be very strong. It's kind of been the motto of my life. Be strong, be courageous, be strong. Once again, I want to give a legacy lesson to you. Be strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Have you ever been to a parade before? I've been to many parades. I'm in military. We've won a lot of victories through the book of Joshua. I've been in a lot of parades. And there's always something that interests me in the parade. The soldiers go marching through, maybe four in a line, and they're all marching in step together. And one's barking the orders to keep them all in sync. You catch that in a parade? Left, left, left. You caught that in a parade there. I'm moving with my right, but the left there, you catch that. They march in alignment with that. Did you know that there's a book that barks the orders for life that is meant to keep life in alignment for us, to keep us in step with our creator that we've created from? It's this book of the law. It's found in the Bible. It's God's word to us. It's to bark the orders in our life so that we keep in step with as the creator created life to be marched in. Keep that book of the law near to your heart without turning aside to the right or to the left. I said in time travel, it's given me plenty of time to catch up on some things. I was caught in the airport watching some CNN in this latest time travel to come be with you guys here. It occurred to me on CNN that you Americans are obsessed with what's on the right and what's on the left. I think you call what's on the right Republicans and what's on the left Democrats, did you hear God's word on the matter? Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Keep marching forward and where God is leading in life. Don't think politically. Think biblically. March your life in alignment with God and with His kingdom and where He's headed to. And at times that might put you on the right. At times that might put you on the left. But all the while, what you're really focused on is God and seeking Him first. Keep that book on the forefront of your minds. You'll need it. Otherwise, CNN will drive your mind crazy. Allow God to guide your mind, not turning to the right or to the left. Verse 7, don't associate with the nations that remain among you. Don't invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. Be careful about choosing your friends. Don't take that too far. I just pointed out a moment ago, Rahab's back there. Gibeon's back there. There is an aspect of associating with the nations there, but it's don't trust them too closely there in and of themselves. Don't allow them to turn you from your walk with God. You got to be careful about choosing your friends. Hold fast to the Lord your God as you have till now. It matters very much to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Hold fast to Him and Him alone. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one's been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as He promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. You ever wonder how one can ward off 1,000? How a group of slaves can march into a land and win every single military conquest when they haven't picked up a sword for 400 years? You ever wonder how that happens? It doesn't happen because you're strong in and of yourselves. It happens because you serve a strong God Himself. Don't forget the power source. Don't forget the strength in your life. Jesus, years later, will tell it this way in planting terms. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you don't remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire to be burned itself. Stay plugged into the vine. Stay connected to the power source. I imagine if Jesus was speaking that word today, He would have probably pulled down a cell phone. He would have said, these things can be pretty powerful. You can do your banking on it. You can do your contacts, all your socializing on it there. You can have apps all over the place. But guess what? If you don't keep this thing plugged in, it's going to lose its charge, and it's going to be good for nothing. No banking, no socializing, no nothing if you forget the power source. And the same is true with the Christian life there. Eventually, we're going to wither and fade if we unplug ourselves, disconnect ourselves from staying plugged into God. Remember where the power comes from. Remember where the connection comes from. It's in a walk, a relationship with the living God who wants to pour into your lives as well. Don't forget that. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out the nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you. Whips on your back, thorns in your eyes. That sounds painful, doesn't it? Until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. The need is to stay plugged in, but there's a constant pull that wants to pull you away from the plug in life, that wants to pull you away from your walk with God, that wants to pull you away from the one who truly does love you with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. It says later on to stay alert. Watch out for this great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong. How? In your faith. Remember that you're a part of the family of believers all over the world who's going through the same kind of suffering you are. You're not alone. There's others with you in this, including God. In His kindness, God has called you to share in His eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a little while, He will restore, support, strengthen, and place you on a firm foundation. All power to Him forever. Amen. the need to stand firm in the faith, even in the midst of the pull. And lastly, I just want to part with you. I'm about to go the way of all the earth. I told you at the start I'm old. I don't fear that. I know it's the next step in that journey, and I'm stepping towards him. I know I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know in your heart and soul that not one of the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. He's true to his word, people. God's promises never fail. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God's promised you have come to you, so he will bring also the evil things he's threatened. Until the Lord your God's destroyed you from the good land he's given you. There are choices we have to make, people. Choices that can lead to blessing, choices that can lead to cursing there. And our choices genuinely do matter. They have eternal ramifications. If we violate the covenant, if we break our relationship with God, if we go and serve other gods, bowing down to other things, then God's anger will burn against us. We'll go quickly and perish from this good land that he's given us. We have a choice to make with eternal ramifications. I want to emphasize, what choice have you made? The choice, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's not a light flippant statement, just to pour it on the house, on some knickknack at your home. It's a soldier's swan song, some parting words from himself, who's seen God and where he's led them through. The Jordan River, the Jerichos, the Ais, the ups and downs of the journey. It's those parting words, knowing where he's parting towards, that this soldier wants to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choice is yours as well. Where do we serve? Where do we go? Let that be the melody. Let that be the march that your life steps in concert to. Amen? Be strong, be strong, be strong and courageous. Be strong, be strong, be strong and courageous.
After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at the Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him and who experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel.